person, from the eldest to the youth.
That's the truth.
From the eldest to the youth.
That's the truth.
I've heard theologies, I've heard philosophies. People have opinions and their own point of view. I've heard preachers preach, I've heard teachers teach. But it all comes down to that simple gospel truth.
I believe the book, every story that I've heard, every line in every word, in those sacred pages, I believe it's true, written down for me and you, and it stood the test of time, through the endless ages.
Skeptics only find ancient words from ancient times, and they're quick to tell you it's all out of date. But I see a timeless truth, and my life is living proof of its power to save, and I'm not ashamed to say
I believe the book. Every story that I've heard, every line and every word, in those sacred pages, I believe it's true, written down for me and you, and it stood the test of time, through the endless ages, and because of all it has done in
from Genesis to Revelation, from beginning to the end, from the dawning of creation to the final amen.
I believe the book, every story that I've heard, every line in every word, in those sacred pages, I believe it's true, written down for me and you, and it stood the test of time, through the endless ages, and because of all it has done in me.
All right. Good evening. Good to have you in the house of the Lord tonight on this fine Wednesday night. Looking forward to what the Lord has for us in the Word of God. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to meet with us tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you. God, we love you. And God, we're so glad that you not only told us time and time again, but you demonstrated your love for us on Calvary. And God, I pray that you might bless tonight, bless the reading and preaching of your Word. God, I pray that it might not just hit the mind intellectually, but God, it might hit the heart. And God, we might be submissive to do what you'd have us to do as a result of hearing your word tonight. I do pray for Don Pylon and Sister Newman and others, dear Father, that need your special healing, your special touch. And just meet with us tonight in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's all stand, take our psalm books, and turn to page number 22. Page 22, Are You Washed in the Blood? We'll sing first, second, and last verse of Are You Washed in the Blood? Page 22.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Verse 4. Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
You may be seated. As you're sitting down, turn all the way over to page 401. Page 401, Set My Soul Afire, Lord. We'll sing all three verses of 401.
Set my soul afire, Lord, for thy holy word. Burn it deep within me. Let your voice be heard. Millions grope in darkness in this day and hour. I will be your witness. Fill me with thy power. Set my soul. Make my life a witness of thy saving power. Millions grope in darkness, waiting for thy word. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Set my soul afire, Lord, for the lost in sin. Give to me a passion as I seek to win. Help me not to falter, never let me fail. life a witness of thy saving power. Millions grope in darkness waiting for thy word. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire.
Verse 3.
Set my soul afire, Lord, in my daily life. Far too long I've wandered in this day of strife. Nothing else will matter but to live for thee. I will be your witness as you live in me. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of thy saving power. Millions grope in darkness waiting for thy word. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire.
Good seeing you tonight. Welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. Of course, every Saturday we have bus visitation, Operation Saturation Soul Winning. That takes place on Saturdays at 10 o'clock a.m. If you'd like to go out with us, knock doors, visit bus route, so forth, make sure you're here on Saturdays at 10 o'clock a.m. We meet over in the wing right over here. This is coming Sunday. It's going to be a bit of a special Sunday. We'll have the regular Sunday school morning service. That will all be normal. But then we'll be coming back here at 4 o'clock p.m. for popcorn preaching, singing, and a fellowship to follow after the afternoon service. So make sure you're here at 4 o'clock p.m. this Sunday, not 6. Otherwise, you'll be getting here really late. Monday, September the 18th, will be the first ladies' meeting of the fall at the church at 6:30 p.m. And September the 22nd and the 23rd will be the Baptist Men's Recharge in Augusta, Kansas. There's a sign-up table in the back, the sign-up sheet in the back on the table. All men and young men are encouraged to go for that Baptist Men's Recharge. Again, that is the 22nd and the 23rd. October 6th and the 7th will be the 2023 Ladies Retreat at Heritage Baptist Church in Lawrence, Kansas. There's also a sign-up sheet on the back table for that as well, so make sure you sign up on that so they can know who's all going to be going to that in October. Also in October, the entire month is going to be Missions Month, so we'll be having lots of missionaries come through, kind of mission-minded. Several of them will be passing by, so just be ready for that special month of October, all the missionaries coming through. And I believe that's all the announcements that we have. Let's all have a time of, so stand first, and then we'll have a time of shaking hands, then we'll take the offering. Ugh.
Thank you.
might find your place tonight. We will receive the offering. Appreciate the giving of God's people. Your faithful giving enables us to do what we do and get the missions money out to the missionaries, and just appreciate it very, very much. And looking forward to Missions Month. I got several missionaries that are going to be with us, starting with the first Sunday in October, and I believe that's Roundup Sunday. And we're going to have Matt Miller from Colorado, and looking forward to that. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to bless this offering. Brother Kevin, will you do that for us, please, sir? Amen. You may be seated.
One last time and turn to page number 44. Page number 44. May I remain seated? Sorry about that. Page 44. Sing all three verses of "We'll Work Till Jesus Comes." Page 44.
For thee I sigh, when will the moment come, when I shall lay my armor by and dwell in peace at home. We'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Christ, I fled for rest. He bade me cease to roam and lean for succor on His breast till He conduct me home. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes, and be gathered home. Verse 3. I sought at once my Savior's side. No more my step shall roam. With Him I'll brave death's chilling tide and reach my heavenly home. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll and we'll be gathered home.
We tend to make excuses, we tend to pass the blame. We fail to see our failures as more than just mistakes. We can see the wrong in others, overlooking the evil within. So Lord, help us to confront our hearts, to confess and forsake our sins.
For the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Filled with pride, we try to hide every sinful part. A confession and repentance would be a healthy start. To fix the heart of the problem of the heart.
The heart is so deceitful, so desperately wicked within. Just a time, I think I'm fine, I deceive myself again. So create in me a clean heart, one that's faithful, pure, and true. And search my heart and try me, help me, Lord, to follow you.
For the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Filled with pride, we try to hide every sinful part. A confession and repentance would be a healthy start. To fix the heart of the problem of the heart. For the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Filled with pride, we try to hide every sinful part. But confession and repentance would be a healthy start. To fix the heart of the problem. The problem of the heart.
Amen. Amen. Usually the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart, for sure. Where there's a will, there's a way. Where there's not a will, there's an excuse. Amen. And if your heart's not in it, then you will find some way to avoid it, to justify it, to not do it, and say, this is the reason. But it's really because it's not in our heart. So, well, Revelation chapter number 10 tonight. We're going right through. We're almost halfway through the book of Revelation. In fact, next week we'll be in Revelation chapter 11. And how many chapters in the book of Revelation? 22. And what's half of 22? Some of you had to think about that one. 11. And so we will be in chapter 11 next week. But this week we're in chapter number 10. And but look down here in our paper. Anybody need a piece of paper? Everybody have a handout tonight? Okay. All right. John was exiled to the Isle of what? Patmos. Why was and what was given to him there on the Isle of Patmos? Revelation of Jesus Christ. That's found in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh, what's about the Antichrist, about the tribulation period? No. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's secondary. Maybe, well, I'm going to study prophecy. No, why don't you just study the Lord Jesus Christ? Because the end times is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Just think about that. The tribulation period lasts for how many years? 7 years. That's it. 7 years. And then the 1,000-year millennium, and then eternity. How many years is eternity? Forever. And so everybody gets clogged up. Well, I need to know everything about the tribulation period. I want to understand it. I've heard people say, man, I've studied and studied and studied. And that's good. Knowledge is good. But yet it's 7 years of history or prophecy that will take place. I'm worried about for all eternity.
heaven or hell. That's more important than, and I know the 7 years of tribulation is important, but anyway, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Number two, in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and 3, John speaks to how many churches? Seven literal churches of Asia Minor. That's an area there in history and in the earth. Number three, Revelation 4 and 5, John's vision moves to where? Heaven, where God sits on his throne 12 times. God and or the throne is mentioned. And what does he have in his hand? A what? Seven-sealed book. It's sealed up. John cries because he knows once those seven, the three sets of judgments are ended, then the millennial reign will be set up and Christ will rule and reign. In Revelation chapter 5, who takes the book from the Father's hand? Jesus. What's he referred to as? The Lamb. The Lamb. Only one worthy to take the book and to loose the seals, which starts the 7 years of tribulation. Revelation chapter 6 is opened and the tribulation begins with the seven sealed judgments, and they started off. In Revelation chapter 7, though, there's a pause or a interval between the opening of the sixth seal and the opening of the seventh seal. And this chapter talks about how many thousand? 144,000 and the great multitude. What's the significance about this great multitude? What do they have in their foreheads? A seal of God. Everybody else is going to feel the effects of the wrath of Almighty God, but those that have the seal of God in their foreheads, God calls them His servants, and they will be saved from the wrath. Revelation 8 and 9 are the opening of the what trumpet? Or of the what trumpet judgments? The trumpet judgments. And we talked about that. Revelation chapter 8, verse 13 is the midway point. So what's half of seven? Three and a half. And what's the second half, second 3.5 years called? The Great Tribulation. Whoa. For the seals that are yet to, or the trumpet judgments that are yet to sound. And then the seventh trumpet opens the what judgments? The last seven. The vile, the bowl judgments, and then the tribulation, or the millennium. But Revelation chapter 10, 11, which we'll probably just get through chapter 10 tonight, talks about the little book and the two witnesses. And so if you'll, if you're there in Revelation, if you'll stand in reverence and love God's Word, we're just going to read a few verses. And this chapter's not very long, 11 verses. And so Revelation chapter 10, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face were as it were the sun. Remember, things that are literal, and then as it were. Wasn't the sun, but as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book opened, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those sayings which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. He told him to write several things, but he said about these, write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. We'll stop there. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I come before you tonight. Thank you for your word. Pray that you might help us to understand, give us understanding. But God, help us to make application to this tonight and to be able to live closer to you and do more for you this week as a result of reading your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Verse 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. And the last vile judgment, bowl judgments, once those are done, then ushered in the millennial reign of Christ. As he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as what? Honey. Yeah. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. So look at this tonight. And we see here the mighty angel. Who was the mighty angel? Who do we think the mighty angel is? Jesus Christ. And because of the comparisons that we see in the book of Revelation and the names ascribed to Jesus and to this angel, we believe that it's Jesus Christ. The mighty angel come down from heaven. And we see that his he has the same descriptions as Jesus was described in the book of Revelation. The Bible says here in chapter 10, verse 1, clothed with a cloud and a rainbow was upon his head. You go to chapter 4, in verse number 3, the Bible says, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight like unto an emerald. You say, well, God the Father's on the throne, but who's on the right hand of God? Jesus. So there is a rainbow above the head. Then it says his face, in verse 1, and his face was as it were the sun. Can you look at the sun? Just look at it? Absolutely not. Those that, God, the man upstairs, just his face. Just his face. You will not be able to look in the face, as it were, the sun. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 6 says, that's not right. Let's see, 1:16, sorry. Says here, and he had on his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. So the same comparisons, same things were said about Jesus Christ, about this mighty angel. And then his feet were, it says here, and his feet as pillars of fire. And of course, chapter 1 and verse number 15, we see here, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they had burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. So we believe the comparisons compare to Jesus Christ. His position here in verse number 2, and he had, verse 2, and he had in his hand a little book, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. Who owns the earth? God does. He created the world. Yes, Satan is the prince and power of the air. He's the little g god of this world, but he doesn't own it. It belongs to the Lord. Look at Psalm 24 in verse number 1. Psalm 24 in verse number 1. The Bible says here, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Guess what? You don't belong to yourself. You belong to God. God created you. God made the whole world. Everything belongs to Him. Amen. It doesn't belong to anybody else. It's His. He created it. It's His. And so He had His foot upon the sea and His left foot upon the earth. His possession, He had this little book. Had a little book in his hand, and we believe this is the written word of God. And I believe it contains the prophecy of the final judgments, and of course the establishment of the thousand-year millennium, when Christ sets up his millennium. And then his proclamation in verse number 3, and he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth, and when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. So as when a lion roareth, and I understand it's a piercing, pretty awesome thing to hear a lion in the wild roar. And that's the voice, the proclamation of, I believe, of our Savior. John was commanded to write what was uttered, true or false? You sure? Everybody's going, yeah. Right, he told him here, he says, And I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. So we don't know exactly what they were, because they're not written down for us. But he obeyed the Lord. Then, and another reason why we think it's Jesus in chapter 11, which we'll look at next week, in verse 3, and I will give unto my two witnesses, I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. My two witnesses. Don't blind to some angel. Those two witnesses are going to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we believe it was Jesus Christ. Then the little book. We believe this to be the Word of God. And it was to be eaten. And the little book was sweet in the mouth, but bitter in the belly. Verse 8 and 9, go and take the little book which is opened in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. Yeah, the good things in it. Good things about Christ winning. Amen. We're on the winning side. Amen. He's going to rule and reign. He's going to set up his thousand-year millennium. There's not going to be any atheists. There's not going to be agnostics. There's not going to be any doubters. Those are going to, that we're going to ascribe to the Lord Him being worthy. And He's going to win. But the bitter, what's still to take place in the tribulation period and the woes. The vile and the bold judgments. This is the great tribulation. It hasn't ended yet. So both sweet and bitter. This book was to be told to others. Look in the last verse of chapter 10. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy. Thou must preach. Thou must proclaim again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. That was his job. You're going to take it. You're going to digest it. But then you're going to give it out. You're going to proclaim it. Preach it. And you know, the same thing that he was supposed to do with the Word is the same thing we're supposed to do. And remember the end of chapter 9. Remember this. Go back to here. Chapter 9, verse 20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by the plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murderers, nor their sorceries, nor their fornications, nor of their thefts. Dealing with those kind of people, they're not going to repent, but God still wants to give them a chance. He's still going to give them witnesses, the 144,000. They're going to see the witnesses do some great things, some miracles. Are they going to believe? Some of them will. But some of them are just going to stay and be as wicked as they can and repent not of what they've done. And so the Word of God, of course, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, capital W. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the written Word, but He is the living Word. What makes this so special? This is the written Word of God. Think about it. This is written by God. Wasn't written by man. Well, I don't understand it. Exactly. Sometimes we don't. Why? Because we're not God. How are we to understand everything that God has written for us? we're not on the same level, but He gives us the Holy Spirit to teach us, to help us, to enlighten us. But you know, the way we understand it is compare Scripture with Scripture. I mean, commentaries, I got a big set in my office. I got Bible programs on my computer, and sometimes I'm like, where did you get that? What? That's a bunch of baloney. That's Greek. And I'm like, where'd you? Well, I think. Well, the text proves, like Scofield, if you have a Scofield Bible, his notes, some of his notes are dead wrong. He said 1 John 5:7 has no authority, should not be in the Bible. I'm like, okay, Mr. Scofield, who are you? My God put it in and you want me to take it out? Wrong. He's wrong. And he said the church is a universal, invisible entity. My wife's not a universal, invisible entity. Neither is the church by its very meaning means called out and assembled. Your car out there that you go in on is assembled. Unless you drive a certain brand, then you probably left some of the parts on the road. But your car, you didn't drive a universal, invisible spaceship to church. Martin Sharp, you know him, right? Martin Sharp that comes. Went to pick up Miguel for the trip, and I saw Martin Sharp. He's riding his Craftsman mower down the sidewalk. And then I picked up Miguel, and we went and we turned on, I think it was Meridian, and there's a Quick Trip there. Well, he had pulled his Craftsman mower into a parking spot there at Quick Trip. And Miguel said, yeah, he does that all the time, you know. I don't know where that was in my nose. I just thought that was funny. But anyway, but God gave us a book. He wrote the book down. And this is not man's. It didn't come out of some college, some denomination. It came from the Baptist doorway and the Baptist Academy. No, it came straight from the mouth and God breathed out. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Amen. And it ought to make a difference in our lives to read the Word of God. Ought to make a difference. And so the Bible is referred to, honey, as, or the Word of God is referred as honey three times in the Word of God. So I want to compare what does honey do for you and what it does to us physically should help us, the Word of God should help us spiritually. First of all, it gives us energy. Look at Psalms 119, verse number 28. Psalm 119 and verse number 28. The Bible says here, my mouth melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Strengthen me. You ever had the Word of God strengthen you? It ought to strengthen your faith. Amen. You read what God does, that's God in the Old Testament. But then you come to the New Testament, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So you're not talking about a God that was. You're talking about a God that is. The great I was. There's a lot of great I was. People die and lose. And, you know, when I was a kid, I remember WWF, and it was Hulk, the Hulk. But he's, I don't know, is he still alive? He is? He's probably old as the hills, though, you know. What's that? Still ship? Kind of built like your pastor. But anyway, you know, but people, you know, they get old. But Jesus Christ isn't the great was and great has been. He is the great I am. Praise the Lord. So this Word of God ought to strengthen us, ought to encourage us, ought to help us. And you ought to cling to some things. And at the end of the message, I just to give you a heads up, I want to ask you to give me a verse that has helped you somehow. Maybe a loss of a loved one, a disappointment, some verse that has helped you. We saw Sister Newman yesterday, and if I come to see you in the hospital, well, I'll get to that the last and leave that there. But anyway, be thinking about that verse that'll help you through. So it is to give you energy. It's to boost your immune system. Look, Psalms 119:11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against who? Against thee. Yeah. You know, our sin, we sin, you know, the prodigal son says, I've sinned against heaven and my dad. But when we do things wrong, we're not doing what God tells us to, or we're doing something He told us not to do. And as a parent, if your kid does things that you tell him not to do, how do you feel? Oh, I think I'll just bless him. You want to go for an ice cream? You know, hey, you're great. No, you did something I told you not to, or you're not doing something I told you to do. And that's what we do. We sin against God. But thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against God. So it ought to boost our immune system. Then look in verse number 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Quickened me. Heals man from sin's damage. You know, sin does damage. Every time we do wrong, it does damage. Certain sins, maybe damage. Certain sins, big damage. I mean, we don't like to classify that, but it's the truth. Some of them have more consequences. Weightier consequences. Bigger price tag, the devil. But it heals. How about boost our memory? Look in John chapter 14 and verse number 26. John chapter 14 and verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So when God says and God gives us the Word of God, guess who comes along and says, hey, you remember that? You remember what I said? Remember what Jesus said in the Word of God? You remember what He said about that? Remember what about that? Remember what He said about heaven? Remember what He said about the rapture? Remember what He said about the dead in Christ? Hey, they're going to rise again. It is sad to lose a loved one. And the Bible says there's nothing wrong with sorrow, but we are not to sorrow even as others which have no hope. It's not, hey, I'm never going to see you again. And, hey, I'll see you later. I'll see you later. Don Pilon's not doing very good. Told his wife, I'll see you in heaven. And I'm telling you, we can rejoice for that person because they get to go to heaven. Saved. We're the ones that you have a loved one, a friend, a neighbor, a church member that goes to heaven. We're the ones that have to go through the rest of our life without that person by our side. But they're perfect. They're enjoying. They're skipping, enjoying the street of gold, enjoying the presence of the Lord. How about helps to get our prayers answered? Look in John 15:5. He says, or 15:7, I'm sorry. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you. My words. Where are God's words? In the Word of God. Ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So we are abide in Him, and His words abide in us. That means you got to read them. It means you got to hear it. It means you got to think about it. It means you got to chew on it. It means you got to memorize it. Memorize Scripture. I still can some scriptures that I did as a kid in Christian school that we had to memorize and write down and say to the teachers, still with me today. So the Word of God can help you. Word of God can help us and can strengthen us. And I encourage you to grab a hold of some scriptures. If I come see you in the hospital, I usually use Psalm chapter 46. Psalms 46 in verse number 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And it says, therefore, because of that, will we not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Man, that's pretty frightening. The mountains move, the earth shakes. But because God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in trouble, I don't care what takes place on the outside, I don't care if it's snowing or a drought or a flood or a hurricane to saw me. Hey, whatever it is, hey, my God is my refuge and my strength. So grab some scriptures. Grab a hold of them. When we got Hannah, we prayed. We prayed for children. And God answered our prayers. And so 1 Samuel chapter 1, and part of the reason why we named her Hannah Elizabeth was because of the story of Hannah here in the Bible. But 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse number 27 says, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him." We use that verse. It was very close to us. That's the child we prayed for. We prayed for her, and the Lord answered our prayer. Before, a year before her, we were going to adopt a couple twins. Pastor's daughter got in trouble, and she was with child with twins, and we had met the parents or the mom, and we went to some doctor's visit with him, and we were ready for that day. But when the day come, we went to the hospital, and the uncle met us out there, and it said, "It's not what you think it is. She has been deceitful. Your scenario was built upon a lie." And so what were we to do? And we didn't even go up and see the children. We withdrew and we said, "Well, we need to call our parents, call our pastor. What are we to do?" And all three of them were unanimous, just walk away, regroup. And so we did that, but we were so excited. The church had a double shower. We had baby beds in our room ready, but it's not the case. But what helped us through was Isaiah chapter 55. Me and my wife, we prayed and we sought. But Isaiah chapter 55, the Bible says in verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." But our thoughts are not his thoughts. Lord, why? Well, why did this happen? And after the case, some people said, "Well, you shouldn't have done it. God placed it in your mouth." All that, we had to get through that. We talked to our authority. We prayed about it. And a year later, we got Hannah. Several years ago, later, we got Annabeth and Leah. A year after that, we got Joseph. Help us. No. Talk about him tonight because he's not here. He's with his papa. But I'm telling you, but we didn't know all that was going to take place. But we had to get through that. Lord, what are you doing? I promise you that scripture helped. That scripture solidified some things in our heart. God, we don't think like God. God, what are you doing? I don't know, but God knows best. And I want to encourage you to get some scriptures when you go through a hard time and pray about it and get your Bible and say, "God, speak to my heart." Turn to Psalms. There's a lot of good scriptures in Psalms. And was there talking to Sister Newman, and she said, "Well, my verse is in, I think it was Psalms 55, I believe. And I think it was 55:16, if I remember. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah." So there's a lot of good scriptures. Psalms 54, verse 2. "Hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth." Chapter 54, verse 4. "Behold, God is mine helper, and the Lord is with them that uphold my soul." God is my helper. Look over in, Psalms 56. Look in verse number 4. In God will I praise His word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. You start looking at this old world and what they say they're going to do to you. And you, if you don't compromise and you don't let down your standards and you don't join them, what's going to happen? You could hang on to that. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Look in verse 11. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Old time preacher was in the elevator, and there's guys got in and robbed him and going to kill him. And he said, don't threaten me with heaven. Go ahead and kill me, but I'm just going to go to heaven. So I want to encourage you to, this is the word. This is the word. He said, eat it up. There's some conviction, some bitter things, things are going to happen. There sure are some sweet things. Hey, heaven, what for all eternity. Like I said, tribulation period, 7 years. Then the millennial reign for all eternity. Heaven, you read the book of Revelation 21, 22, there shall be no more. A lot of those no mores. But grab a scripture. Hang on to it. Write it on a 3x5 card. Think about it. Memorize it. Quote it back to the Lord. And that'll help you. It'll help you. So anybody have a scripture that... Kevin?
2 Timothy 4:7.
Okay. And what does it say?
I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith.
Okay. Good. Good. It's good. Brother Josh? Amen? Amen. At a time in your life. My father-in-law, I know, goes to Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city. Hey, call upon the Lord. I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Anybody else? Pam? Right? That's a promise from God. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. We're promised God's peace? Yeah. It seems like these are bad things, accidents, problems, but they're either ordained of God, allowed of God. God knows better than we do. We don't understand it. God, why? One of the biggest reasons, why God? Why God? I don't know. Secret things belong unto the Lord. So, how many, I won't ask, but I know a lot of ladies that have lost, had a miscarriage, turned to the Word of God, and a lot of times that's one of the scriptures, and the one that David, the little baby, died but went to heaven. And your baby is in heaven. It's not a piece of tissue. They didn't just disregard. No, your child is with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir? with these words. I'm going to see him again. Praise the Lord. Sunday? Encourage you, the Word of God, encourage you, uplift you, remind you, abstain from all appearance of evil. Do I need to be watching this? Do I need to be listening to this? Do I need to be going to this concert? Abstain from the very appearance of evil. Anybody else? Brother Derek? Okay, great verse. That will keep him in perfect peace. It has all the money in the world, right? No. That will keep him in peace. It gets A's on all their paper, right? No. That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Because he never changes. Never changes. Doesn't matter what's happening out in the world, who gets the presidency, who loses, who wins. Hey, he's always the same. Miss Glenda? Okay, good verse, good verse. Anybody else? Hannah? Yeah. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, yeah. Yeah, good verse, good verse. Brother Heston? Amen. The Lord is the strength of my life. How do you make it? How do you make it? What? You know, you must have all the money, have all the answers, have all the backing. Not so. But the Lord is the strength of my life. All right. Anybody else? Brother Wolf? Okay. Excellent. Amen. Excellent. Sometimes you get weary in well-doing. What's this helping me? I may have lost a job. May have lost a friend. Hey, I mean, what did doing right get Joseph? Thrown in jail? because he did not succumb to the temptation to have sexual relationships with somebody else's wife? Well, that got him somewhere, didn't it? Be not weary in well-doing. Amen. For in due season you shall reap your fruit. Excellent. All right. Anybody else? Hannah? I mean, Sarah? Amen. 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 As a kid, my favorite verse was greet one another with a holy kiss. My dad, trying to live this verse. Doesn't say, anyway, that got me in trouble. All right, anybody else? Mary, Sister Vance? Yeah, remember that. The Lord is good. Oh, but this situation's bad. But the Lord is good. Praise the Lord. That's excellent. Anybody else? Brother Doc. So what can separate you?
Nothing.
God loves you in spite of you. Amen. How about when you need wisdom? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Real quick. Sister Wolf. Amen. Amen. Remember, God told Joshua, I think it was Joshua, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Amen. Anybody else? Real quick. Charles. Amen. Does God have any promises when you go witness? Matthew 28:18-20. The Great Commission, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I will watch you. Know what it says? No. I will... And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good promise. I'm going to go, and the Lord's going to be with me. All right, anybody else? Okay. All right, now God's people said? Amen. All right. We have some prayer lists back there, guys, if you can get those real quick. And teachers, Sunday school teachers, your new lessons are on the back seat back there, on the back pew. And that'll take us through December, the end of December. So pick those up. Make sure you get those. So please pray for Don Pylon. He's in the hospital and just not doing very good. Not really expected to leave the hospital, and just pray for him. William and Wanda Burris, Sister Rowe, Mark Rowe, pray for Brother Heston, pray for Brother Walker, Brother and Sister Moyer, Sister Sanborn, John Fry, Edie and Darrell Smith, Sister Kuykendall, Sister Petty, Brother Myers, Nancy Woody, Robert and Jonita, Dr. Lindholm's possible sale of business. Sister Newman had her surgery and did well, and came through that. Pray for Melissa, Grandma Miller, Jewel Brown, Sister Logan, Sister Wolf's mom, Don McKee, Tom and Pam Reed, Sister Klein, saw her today. The Wells, Josh's kids, Heaven's mom, the Ferrets and their kids, and Joel, Karen Buchanan, the Eberhards family, the Nation of Israel, our college students, many for a new roof and shuttle bus, and then these unspoken. Please remember them in prayer. Anybody else tonight? Brother Beckner. So your son and daughter? Okay. All right. And I thought I had my aunt, Winona Swope. She has stage 4 cancer, and she's had some indigestion problems and thought that that's what it was, but they finally got to the bottom of it, and now they're saying there's not much that they can do because it's been that long and is aggressive. So please remember Winona Swope. So anybody else? Sister Wolf. Grace, how are the Burrises doing? I think he goes back to the doctor this week, right? Tomorrow? Okay. Yeah, he's doing pretty good, and she had surgery on both eyes. Not yet, but one of them. Okay, she got on one eye, on the other one, but he seems to be good, and hopefully he says, I get cleared to drive. So he's, huh? He's not driving? Okay. What if the doctor says it's okay? You're not, her words, I'm not riding with him. So pray for Grace and Brother Burrs and Sister Burrs. Yes, Sister. Okay. So if you see Kevin going, just pat him on the back and help him a little bit. Energizer Buddy, the batteries are going dead, okay? So just be patient. If he gets up and sings and he's, just know that we will replace the batteries and you'll be okay, right? Okay. Sister Glore. Okay, so your uncle, your mom's brother, okay? And Jim Talbert, saw him today. He's just like was two doors down from Don Pylon, and he had had his procedure, I think, this morning. And anyway, he was up walking in his little dress, but I had to tell him about that. Anyway, he said he's doing well. So appreciate the purse. All right, anybody else? Sunday. Good. Wow. It's amazing. Amazing how God keeps us from situations. So praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Sister Lynn Holm. Okay, pray for Nathan. He might have had a spider bite, and Lord's will about him being on one of the singing groups. So, all right, yes, ma'am. The new roof and shuttle bus.
And Pastor's 2024.
I'm sorry. Next time, ask for a real truck. Have any of you seen that car, that truck that the guy has that turned around and he's driving and the bed's in front?
Yeah.
That messes with your mind. I was coming to church and I saw Sister Ack and Sister Rose go that way, and that truck was going that way, and I'm like, that's weird. Messes with your mind. So just shows how backwards people are. So anybody else? Real quick. Sister Rowe. Praise for Lynn's eyes. Okay. And your knees. Okay. All right. Anybody else? All right. Well, let's have a season of prayer, and we'll end with a song tonight.